Jeffrey Wirt, thank you so much for joining us.
You're quite welcome.
It's been 149 years since Lincoln's second inaugural address. Most of our listeners are familiar with the Gettysburg Address and why that's important. What's the significance of this less talked about speech, which some, including Lincoln, actually considered his greatest speech?
The language is very moving, and it's almost a speech in which Lincoln's removed from it. Only in the first paragraph is there the I, but after that, it's very impersonal. He talks about the coming of the war and who's to blame for it, and he attributes it correctly to slavery, and then he basically calls it a national sin. He says that this nation has paid for that sin, and they're paying for that sin with this terrible civil war. Both the North and the South has to pay for the sin of, as he called it, the unrequited labor for 250 years of slaves. And if it was drawn with the lash, it is now being drawn with the sword. It's unlike any other inaugural address in our history. That's clear. Well, of course, Lincoln arguably is unlike any other president in our history with his command of language.
Well, let's back up a little bit. What's the context of the speech?
Well, the context was the war would be over in 5 weeks. Most of the thousands of people in the audience pretty well knew that the end was at hand. And so therefore, he said it was not necessary to go over the progress of the war. Then he reminds the audience that once this war ends, there's this great task remaining before us. He alluded to the fact that there's no certain answers to what happens after the war. And that, we know, is Reconstruction. So as the war's ending is approaching, it's a look, in a sense, forward besides a look in the past.
It's worth noting that the speech was quite short. It was around 700 words, and Lincoln is speaking, you know, towards the end of the war. There's a lot he could talk about, but he chooses to be brief.
Not only chooses to be brief, but if you think about it, it's a rather harsh speech to the American people. In the fact that, you know, we have as a nation, as I said before, sinned. And this is what we are paying for that sin, and it's God's will. And that's the other thing about the speech. This inaugural address is very profound in its religious undertones, if you will. In fact, you could argue that it's even more than an undertone. He quotes Matthew in the speech. So most inaugural addresses, as we know, modern times, it's almost saying, well, either if it's the first term, it's what we're going to achieve. If it's the second term, it's what we have achieved and then looking forward. This was none of that applied here necessarily. As I said, it's a very impersonal address.
And why do you think he chose that tactic?
I believe he chose that because he felt that it had to be said. And American people had to understand. And as I said earlier, it's preparing them for a clearly uncertain future about how do we heal this? And today we believe that perhaps not 620,000 men fell from disease or battle wounds, but perhaps maybe 750,000. So we're talking 750,000 men. And we have obligations to that. And it is a very difficult mission. Of course, sadly and tragically, we know that he didn't live to do that.
What's the lasting significance of this speech?
It's just the poetry of it all. It has never been matched. And we think of Kennedy's moment, but Kennedy had a phrase that just rang. But Lincoln's entire speech just rings.
Would you mind reading the last paragraph?
Oh, no, certainly. With mouths toward none, with charity for all, with the firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who has borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which we may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.